Blog Talk Radio.
What are you two doing sitting there? Plotting?
Yeah, we plotting. Plotting to steal.
To steal what?
To steal the information. All of it.
Yeah, but whose information is it? And the more you learn about this system, the more upset you get.
Oh, my dear Mr. Williams. Peppermint? Information is power. If you don't have the information, one cannot seize power. You need to think about becoming mentally competitive. Being black does not free you from being a responsible individual.
Yeah, but being a responsible individual don't free you from being black. Now do it.
That's right.
Poor misguided soul. You have yet to learn the rules of this game.
He will.
I don't want to. See, I'm smart enough to know it's not my game to play. Just a pawn like everybody else.
Used intelligently, a pawn can create a checkmate, Mr. Williams, or become a very powerful player himself. Don't you understand? This is all a game. All of this. Like basketball, football, Mr. Big Time Track Star, a game. You play it, and you play it to win, because in the real world, no one wants to hear excuses or empty rhetoric, no. They want to know if you have a plan.
We are gathered here today to enter this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man, what is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor, all hail funkin' lesson, sweet tongue grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold, born in a cosmos, where no time and space do exist, vibe in the midst of the chaos, mortals label me as a lot of...
You're traveling to another radio show, a broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Deeper, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Hey, yo, it's the Midweek in Review show, folks. Welcome once again, your host, D-Bert, a.k.a. the Afro Nerd. As always, as ever, the captain is in attendance as well. I believe he's coming back from convalescence. We wish him health. I was saying behind the scenes, he might need some Wakandan herbs, like the Black Panther comic book character. The herbs that I take, I'm just saying. The call-in number, once again, 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. Don't be scared, as they say. The water is warm. We won't bite you much. All right, folks, let's go to a quick herb alt, black rock, psychedelic soul, Afropunk groove. This is actually a classic from probably the original punkster or stir. This is George Clinton, Funky Kind. We'll be back, and again, let's groove.
You catch yourself dancing with a stranger, but even strangers that you like the way you move. You never pictured yourself to be a dancer, but checking your steps you find the rough your groove. It's a close encounter of the first kind, close encounter of the first kind, the funky kind.
aphrodisiac attracts. She's checking her traps. I'm in love and I'm all shook up. I came to get down. Other lips don't cut my love no slack. Just yakking and smacking. My maggot is cracking. And I'ma knock that down. And I'ma knock that down. Yeah, I'ma knock that down. Yeah, I'ma get with it. I know you know just what I mean. Knock that down.
Enough of that. Once again, legendary funkster George Clinton, funky kind. Welcome to the Midweek Review edition of Afro-Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. And speaking of the Captain, I know you're coming back from illness, but we believe you to be in your alter ego, Luke Cage, so you are needed in the ready room ASAP. Let's get to it, sir.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before. The temerity of the captain to be out sick. Well, these things are, as I would say, an intrinsic part of being within the human body. But, as the great Afro-Nerd said, what Luke Cage had to do, cross universes and go to DC and go see Batman for anti-radiation therapy, and now I'm back and I want a cookie.
Oh, my God. Welcome, sir. You sound a bit better. I got your message last week, and you sounded out of it, sir. So good to see you're back among the living. All right, listen, we have a lot to get into. We have less than an hour. First up, I just so happened to call in Rob Redding's show. Definitely check out readingnewsreview.com, ladies and gentlemen, readingnewsreview.com. And we've had our fair share of battles on air. Fun jostling, I should say, or a jostling. Is it jostling? Jostling with each other. He's an independent. I'm a conservative. And for the most part, you know, not unlike a lot of urban radio show hosts, he has a tendency to go into victimization talk. That's just what they do. He goes into victimization talk, but I give him a lot of respect, and he has given me, to be fair, he has given me a fair share of respect in the last few months especially. I think that, and the captain knows this, when I call into these shows, it's a slow boil. It's a slow boil. The type of discourse that the captain and I deal in or deal with, it's to take from the honor guard, Mr. Starks, it's an unattractive truth. That's his coin of phrase, an unattractive truth. So what I'm saying is call up and I give a contrarian point of view that oftentimes cannot be deconstructed. It's off-putting to the guest, to the host. It's off-putting to the host. But sooner or later, they come around. So right before we went on air on this podcast, I was on Rob Redding's show. I didn't have enough time to isolate the audio. I'll have it for Saturday's show, ladies and gentlemen. But he had conceded, you know what? I give up. You gave me too much logic. I cannot disagree with you. I want to try to disagree with you. I want to try. But you boxed me in where I have to agree with you. And that's one thing that the captain and I have mastered this kind of talk, is we can concede to some things, But for the most part, we've tried to present arguments that are very difficult to deconstruct. What am I talking about specifically? He devoted almost 3 hours, 3 hours to the Kanye West, Kim Kardashian racial kerfuffle. So I came in, as to be expected, with a different angle. So I'm going to play this clip from the Young Turks. I did manage to get this. I'm going to play a few moments of this diatribe between the hosts of the Young Turks, courtesy of YouTube. And myself, we will continue to unpack with our version. So this is the Young Turks talking about the Kim Kardashian, Kanye West, N-word kerfuffle. Hold on.
How far can someone go in provoking a celebrity? And that's a question that many people are asking after an 18-year-old was punched by Kanye West. Now, this all started when Kim Kardashian was at a chiropractor's office, and she was being bombarded by paparazzi. She was trying to get into the office, and this alleged 18-year-old boy, or man, I should say, opened the door for her. And as he was opening the door for her, he said to the photographers, quote, I'm going to say it verbatim, fuck these faggot-ass niggers. Okay. So he says that, and Kim Kardashian obviously gets offended by it. Mm-hmm. So she tells him, you know, don't say that, that's inappropriate. And then all of a sudden he turns on her, and again I'm going to say what he said to her verbatim so you guys get a sense of how crazy this guy is. He says, fuck you, bitch, just trying to help you, shut up, nigger lover, stupid slut. And then he proceeded allegedly to threaten her life and say, I'm going to kill you, stupid slut, and stuff like that.
So when is Kanye coming?
So Kim Kardashian feels threatened. She calls Kanye on the phone, and as she's talking to him on the phone, he realizes, and by the way, this 18-year-old is unidentified. Authorities will not release his identity. While she's talking to Kanye West on the phone, he just keeps yelling, fuck you, nigger.
Mm-hmm.
So shortly after that, he goes to the chiropractor's office, and at that point, the 18-year-old is in the office. He walks in and proceeds to punch the 18-year-old. Now, officials are investigating Kanye for assault and battery, so we'll see how that plays out. But the reason why I'm bringing this story up right now is because my question is, it's not about Kanye West, it's not about Kim Kardashian. The question is, how far can people go in provoking celebrities, right? So me as I'm a public figure, right? So if I'm in a public place and someone decides, like, you know what, I hate the Young Turks, I think that they suck, I don't like their political views, does that mean that someone can come up to me and scream and yell heinous things and I have to just stand there and take it? And I'm not trying to justify anyone's like Kanye West's behavior. Obviously, you're not allowed to go around punching people, but there has to be some protection for public figures. You can't have people coming around calling you racist names like that.
All right. So should Kanye have punched them? What are the protections? Drop it. All right. Look. Yeah, you shouldn't punch people. On the other hand, this guy is saying this to your wife?
I know. Look, from a legal perspective, no, you shouldn't punch him. You're not allowed to, right? It's against the law. From a human perspective, fuck yeah, you punch him.
Oh, all right. We apparently have a not guilty on.
All right. I'm going to cut it there because of time constraints. I'm pretty confident that our audience, they get the gist. Captain, we haven't heard from you for a while. I'd like to get you to weigh in on this. What are your feelings about what transpired here?
Drum roll,
was
please.
Was he correct
please.
In assaulting?
Well, look, from a human perspective, a lot of people need to be killed. That doesn't mean we go out and do it. You understand? So obviously, he's wrong.
The texting story comes up next, so remind you.
Yeah, there you
the
go.
The texting story comes up next.
So obviously, he is wrong for punching the person. All right? Yeah, that's definitely wrong. But also, the 18-year-old is also wrong for carrying on in that manner. But let's understand what sets this dynamic into play. Let's talk about that. That's what people really don't want to talk about. He called her a slut. Now, we're talking about Kim Kardashian. Doesn't Kim Kardashian have a sex tape where Ray J was digging her back out? Okay, we know about that. So there might be some validity there as far as that's concerned. But that's a whole other story. That still doesn't give him the right. But I'm just talking about what sets these things into play. Also, the type of music that Kanye West sells. It's nigga, nigga, nigga all day, every day long. Don't get me wrong. I like some of his music. He makes good menstrual music at times, and sometimes he makes some legitimate non-menstrual records. But for most part, he's doing the menstrual thing because we know the menstrual is always the most highly paid performer throughout history. Check your history, and that's the reality of it. So these things set the whole dynamic into play. So now he calls, the 18-year-old calls Kim Kardashian, now for show purposes, nigga lover, okay? Now, being that he's using these words so much on his records, and he's selling the nigga word, and he performs as a menstrual, he carries on. But when he wants to, he can straighten up. We've heard him speak very well at times. Sound like a college professor when he gets ready. But, so there's some validity to it, because in the black community, we have a tendency to separate the more learned within the group. The more learned, not all of us, the more learned in the group, we will separate the niggers from the quote-unquote black people. Now, I know a lot of you do not want us to be using the word, but for argument's sake right now, we have to use the word because this is what it was put, how it was put out there. So these are the things that set it up in this dynamic. So if Kanye West never, ever, ever carried on in the way he did, this probably never would have happened. Now, don't get me wrong now. He is wrong, and also the 18-year-old kid is wrong in this situation. Now, here's the next thing. If Kim Kardashian, in my opinion, would have picked up a bat or some kind of weapon because she's a female, and this goes into something else, and hit the kid, she probably would get away with it because she could say she's threatened and she's a female. But once he comes running into out from nowhere, or should I say from his car, to beat up the 18-year-old kid, hello, lawsuit, he's going to be paying, that sort of thing. Afro Nerd, break it down a bit more. He will expound upon it some more. Take the floor, Afro Nerd.
Thank you, sir. Listen, I'm going to somewhat channel what I said earlier this evening when I was on Rob Redding's show, again, readingnewsreview.com, readingnewsreview.com. I believe Mr. Redding is actually related to Otis Redding, so he's has some cachet there. Anyway, what I essentially said to Rob was, we are in a precarious time when, for the last 20 years, but it seems to become more intense as the years go on, with black folk, because of a lower-tier cultural standard, because of quote-unquote ratchet culture, not unlike ratchet culture's cousin, poor white trash culture, or cracker culture, or Appalachian culture. Not unlike that, we've allowed this we've allowed a lowering of the cultural standard. We've allowed this. So what happens is, Mr. West toils in this culture. Everything that I don't want to say everything, but for the most part, as the captain was referencing, his music relies heavily on a type of black Tourette's. Black man's Tourette's has it where you must say the N-word over and over and over again. Now, in the 70s, and maybe even the early part of the 80s, Tiff word was brother. Why you can't say brother, 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 as opposed to N-word, N-word, nigga, 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 befuddles me. But this is the business that he is in. Now, listen, for the most part, to be fair, he deserves, and tangentially connected to his paramour, his soon-to-be wife, not his wife yet, soon-to-be wife, his fiance. She's a public figure. She doesn't deserve someone to call her out of her name. Yada, yada, yada. Creating a type of atmosphere. You're creating a type of cipher, a type of a type of rhythm that's allowing, somewhat allowing this. We've heard Malcolm X use terms like the chickens have come home to roost. You reap what you sow. He toils in a business that has pays him handsomely as a professional minstrel, as a modern-day court jester, as a licensed fool, whatever euphemism you may choose to use. This culture that he makes his bones from spouts off the N-word, and again, he's paid very handsomely for this, and to the point where it's allowed for a type of ambiguity. And we've talked about this all the time. This is another rant that's probably an MP3 that's stuck. So I even questioned Rob. I said, hey, did this young man call Kim Kardashian the GA lover or the GER lover? Being half facetious at about 50%. I calibrated it down to 50%. Was it GA or GER? You can't make your bones off of this kind of word, degrading your people, degrading your culture, degrading your women, and not expect for it to come back at you. Recently, I believe he just came back from touring, or he might still be on a hiatus from touring. He was selling Confederate flag T-shirts as a black man, selling Confederate flag T-shirts with some kind of twisted meaning. I don't have any sympathies for Kanye West, and I'm not going to defend minstrels. That's one of my resolutions for 2014, Captain. I'm not going to defend minstrels. Heck, I might have joined in unison with the 18-year-old and said, this is what you are. I might have used it because, I'm saying that facetiously, 100%, because this is what you want. You can't have it both ways. You can't have these conflicted meanings. And I wish our audience, which is growing by the week, feel free to come on in if you like to deconstruct what I'm talking about. I don't think you can. It is true. He is selling the word Jay-Z, Lil Wayne, Jeezy, any of these Drake, any of these top artists use this word repeatedly. And matter of fact, they sell their wares, Captain, to the same demographic as the kid that Kanye West allegedly beat up. So when they spew it back to you, now you're offended. I don't know if you're allowed to be offended. Now, he's going to get sued, undoubtedly, and you can't lose your comportment because someone calls you out of your name. And better yet, I'm pretty sure Kim has gone to his concerts and probably have heard the word a million times already. I mean, this is the world we're living in. Now, he could be an upstanding citizen, upstanding black person, and certainly not be deserving of being disrespected. But you have a better leg to stand on when you do not have anything to do with this kind of culture. When you are away from that culture and someone disrespects you, that's a different matter. But when you are a part of a culture that is insistent that this word means something else, they will tell you, well, it means something else. Black folk, black millennials, have become surgeons, Captain, in being able to decipher nigger versus nigga. We saw Lena Dunham and Lisa Lampanelli get in trouble for calling each other niggas. Girls, the creator of Girls, HBO's Girls TV show, TV series, Lena Dunham, and of course the raunchy blue comedian Lampanelli. Lisa Lampanelli, in a tweet a few months back, said, "That's my nigga." Now I said this before. Who would think Who would think that we would ever get to the point where we would get mad at white folks calling each other the N-word? A word that we have said means something different. The word allegedly means something different. If it means something different, why are you getting mad? You reap what you sow. The chickens have come home to roost, commodify an epithet. Jewish folk are not ambiguous with their epithets. Even gay folk, an emerging protected class captain, I thought you was to break it down. They're making it very expensive and very difficult for you to disrespect them with their respective epithet. With black folk, we have created this ambiguity, and now we are paying the price for it, and I am not protecting Kanye West. There you go. We have a caller. Let's open up the lines once again. It is the Midweek in Review show. I told you it was going to be hot, and I defy you to deconstruct the argument that I just laid out, if it's possible. Okay. 630, welcome to Afternet Radio. Tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Blake from Chicago.
Welcome.
I've really been meaning to talk about the whole Kanye West thing. I mean, honestly, I felt like he was justified. I mean, that's the whole thing about the First Amendment. We have the freedom to say what we want, but if you can't deal with the consequences, then, you know, that's what happens to you, regardless of the fact of what, if he was called the N-word or not. You disrespect a man's wife, I mean, I really can't respect you if you're not going to do anything about it, honestly. I mean, some people need a little, you know, slap in the face.
Well, listen, there are people that have come out the same way you have come out. They're saying that you have to protect your woman and that kind of thing. And for the most part, I agree with you. My issue is with Kanye West specifically. Kanye West or Jay-Z, they have created a culture that has allowed the word to become defamed. They have defamed the word, and we have lost currency with the N-word, whereas if you call a Jewish person their racial epithet, or if you call an Asian person or any other minority or protected class their epithet, there's no ambiguity. What needs to be said is that there are different types of black people and different tiers. No one's confusing Duck Dynasty with someone living in Westchester. With black people, we're perceived as being all the same. So, sure, maybe the kid deserved an ass whipping. Maybe. But for Kanye West, I perceive West to be an embarrassment and a minstrel, and I'm not protecting him.
How is he a minstrel?
He's a minstrel because...
You're speaking in French here, man. I don't understand.
Well, this is why it's important to check our show. You don't know what makes a minstrel?
I know what it is. I know what a minstrel is. But how is he a minstrel of all things? If anything, he's an anti-minstrel.
He's not an anti-minstrel. Kanye West is not.
What are we basing this on?
And I'm basing it on his comportment. And I'm basing it on the fact that he routinely degrades women and his.
So, okay, then that's the case that's sort of a lot of So, I'm really not understanding. I mean, you're putting all this stuff that could apply to any group, and you're just simply saying, well, Kanye West is a minstrel. I mean, I really don't see that as helping anything. It's kind of, I don't know, it just doesn't fit.
Can you hear me?
I hear you.
All right, you hear me. I'm his partner. I'm his partner in crime here. The Afternet teaching Captain Kirk. We lost transmission with him. He'll be back in a second. Now, pertaining to the standpoint, I think what you're trying to say, I'll let you elaborate on it. You're saying that it doesn't matter that whether or not he's a menstrual pertaining to the situation, he should have just went out and protected his wife, regardless. I think that's what you're trying to say. That's irrelevant to the situation. Am I correct?
Sure.
Okay. Then we're clear. You understand? We're totally clear. We're totally clear on that. Thank you very much for your call.
No, I just disagree with the fact of him being a quote-unquote minstrel. I mean, he's embarking on endeavors that, I mean, he's faced discrimination and adversaries within what he likes doing. I mean, I think he's more of a power figure than anything.
Okay, you're definitely entitled to your opinion, sir. We have our opinion here, and we appreciate your opinion. And that's what this is all about, getting various opinions. I respect your thought process. That being said, thank you very much for your call, sir. All right. If you anybody that can read me out there, we're having transmission problems at this given time. We're going to go into a record here. Let's see what we got in the archive here. Even my board is freezing up. Let's see. Wow. All right, let's get into this. Feeling Good, Nina Simone remix.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh. And I'm feeling good.
Sorry about that, Captain.
All right, you're back.
I got dropped off somehow.
You got dropped off, and my board froze up also. Amazing.
Wow.
I was having problems. I was trying to get it through.
I thought you were. Right. I thought you were on air, so that's why, you know. So you weren't on air all that time?
To a certain extent, I was on.
Okay. Our apologies, folks. I don't know what the heck happened. My mic just dropped, so now I'm going old school. I don't quite understand the young man's issue with he doesn't feel that Kanye West is a minstrel. I'm gonna be very brief about it. I mean,
he's entitled to his opinion.
He's entitled to his opinion, but listen, the bottom line is many of these rap artists partake in what has been considered neo-minstrelsy. And you can go online and look this up. There's a great deal of scholarship as to the history of minstrelsy, that it dates back 200-plus years. And there are parts, when you get into self-parody and degradation and really not presenting a consistent image, and your image can be picked apart, in this instance where you freely use the N-word, and then when it's spouted back at you, out at you, you have no credibility. I mean, there's a million ways to perceive him as a minstrel. But anyway, beyond that, bottom line is, I don't know if you can really attack anyone physically and not expect to deal with the ramifications of that. It may be worse for Kanye than for the young man that ended up getting accosted, even though that young man used it. And what makes it problematic, Captain, and then we're going to move along, is the reality is, over the years, and even Reverend Sharpton, who I'm no fan of, has talked about this. The civil rights establishment has talked about the fact that because you have a generation that freely has made the N-word ambiguous, it's, the perpetrators of crime, perpetrators of hate crimes, can now say, well, I meant it differently. They've made it problematic. Other racial groups, other ethnicities, other protected classes, Captain, don't seem to have the same problem now. there's less ambiguity and more currency with their epithets than with us. Black folks have lessened or taken the teeth or defanged the N-word to such a degree that now one can make the argument that, well, we don't know if you were really disrespected because you profit from it. You've made it into no big deal, and you have said, you, the collective you, tribal you, you have said it means something different. When you say something means something different, it means something different. That's it. All right, moving right along. Another fiasco. A gentleman in Florida, a former or retired, I should say, retired SWAT team commander, had a blackout moment, Captain. It's not funny. You know, it's not funny. I mean, allegedly, a young man was tweeting during a movie and ends up getting killed for it. And the only thing I can say is this was bound to happen. Technology has contributed to a certain level of rudeness. And you can't expect everybody to have their wits about them. So let's go to the clip first, and then we will unpack. Again, we're talking about the Florida texting shooting. Hold on.
Fatal shooting at a Florida movie theater. A retired cop now charged with second-degree murder after shooting a fellow moviegoer who was texting during the previews. ABC Steve Asensami is on the scene just outside Tampa. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, George. This is a high-end theater with incredibly comfortable leather chairs and waiters and waitresses who bring food and drinks to your seat. So it was quite a shock when someone pulled out a gun. They were there to watch a war flick, the hit movie Lone Survivor.
A lot more than 10 guys. It's an army.
But long before the gunfire got started on the screen, it was happening for real during the previews. Police say it all started when retired Tampa police captain Curtis Reeves, seen here wearing a white jumpsuit, got fed up with the couple on their cell phone in front of him and his wife. They say that 43-year-old Chad Olson, seen in this news report from 2011, and his wife Nicole, pictured on their Facebook pages, were reportedly talking loudly and texting away.
Curtis Reeves asked him a few times to please turn off his phone. Chad decided not to.
The 71-year-old retired policeman went for the manager but came back alone. Police say the two men started arguing, Olson trying to explain that he was texting his young daughter. That's when witnesses say the retired officer pulled out a gun and aimed at Olson's chest.
Somebody throws popcorn. I'm not sure who threw the popcorn. And then, bang, he was shot. He staggered two seats over, fell on my son and I.
Olson's wife was wounded, trying to shield her husband from the gunshot, using her bare hand.
She's a wreck. I mean, she just lost her husband, the father of her little girl.
At the theater, people who were there tried to help, including an off-duty nurse who rushed to the bleeding husband and tried to revive him but couldn't.
Something happening like that in little Wesley Chapel, it's just, I never even thought it would happen.
As for Reeves, ABC News has learned he retired from the Tampa PD in 1993 and was instrumental in establishing the department's first tactical response team. Theme Park Busch Gardens confirms he was once their director of security. Authorities say he'll be charged with second-degree homicide. Reeves has a son who's currently on the Tampa Police Force. We reached out to him last night, and he told us that his father is still his idol. Reeves has a court appearance this afternoon. Robin?
Okay, Steve, thank you.
All right, folks, once again, this is the Midweek in Review edition of Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk. The call-in number, once again, as ever, as always, 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. Our apologies for the drop-off. Something happened with our mics. So somehow the board screwed up with the captain, and my mic dropped, so I'm doing it old school. Don't forget we have a show on Saturday as well, folks, the Grindhouse edition, the double-feature two-hour show, comics and sci-fi and fantasy and video gaming for the first hour, and, of course, we get into more serious fare toward the second hour. Back to the issue at hand, this young man, I would consider him young, 43 years of age, a parent, a husband, simply going to a movie theater, allegedly was texting his 3-year-old child, and he gets into a hullabaloo, my favorite word, a hullabaloo with an older gentleman who is a retired SWAT team commander. Well, you know, this is one of those cases that it's disheartening. It should have never come to this, obviously. It's just not that serious. We see that there's a New Mexico shooting with a 12-year-old who shot two students, a girl and a boy. I think they're also preteens. This wild, wild west Grand Theft Auto mentality, we're in the thick of it, folks. And one of the tenets of this program is to have your third eye always open and to use discernment and not always be politically correct. You know, political correctness, as I have said on many occasions on the show, slowly becoming the death of young folk, of our people, cross-racially. Being politically correct, not being able to speak with absolute clarity and honesty, it's killing us. And our inner sanctum, we like to enjoy the movies. And what really got me, Captain, I know you probably heard this, is that the description of the movie theater was very similar to the theater that you and I and Sally and the whole gang that we attend, that modern select seating private thing. It could happen anywhere. The whole thing is you have to have your eyes and ears open. You have to watch people. And you have to make sure you don't set up situations where you have to engage with folks. This young man thought that he could test this older dude. You don't know where this older man's head is. And I do see folks at these theaters that are so engrossed with their technology that they're rude. Now, it doesn't mean that the rudeness is worthy of death. That's for sure. One's rudeness is not worthy of death. But you know something? I know the captain probably feels this way. I'm not going to put myself in a position where I have to test any theories. I'm not going to test anyone. And to go down in history as having died from texting? Wow. Wow. But I tell you this, Captain. I've seen this kind of behavior at the theater, where the rudeness, people could care less about other folk. You know, when it's a dimly lit or very dark theater and the film's about to be shown, and it's to the point that even with the previews, with the trailers, they have in-between sequences that clearly tell the audience, cut your phone off, stop texting, respect the audience, and people could care less. You know, in a dimly lit theater, you can see someone's cell phone many feet away, 15, 20 feet away. You can see a brightly lit cell phone as clearly as anything else. But this young man is no longer among the living, and I'm curious as to what the retired officer's defense will be. Someone who was in that kind of position. Because a SWAT team commander, Captain, is supposed to have a great deal of common sense. I mean, you know, SWAT team commanders should be masters in negotiation. I mean, that's what they do. I mean, the whole, in particular, him being an officer, I'm assuming he's going to come up with some kind of stand your ground. I mean, Florida in particular is a weird state now on a whole lot of different levels. It's weird politically, the whole gun thing. It's the wild, wild west, but it's down south. Captain, you got to unpack this for me. What's going on here? Wasn't this inevitable on some level? Wasn't this inevitable?
Well, absolutely, and it's going to get worse as the years progress. We're going to see more and more of this wild, wild west type of situation. What happened here was a totally limbistic, meaning which an emotional decision. All the training really does, it allows your limbic system to fire in a very serious situation. When you're a police officer, when you're an army individual, or, you know, SWAT team person. That's what it's supposed to do. But once that limbic system goes off, you know, your emotional part of your brain goes off, it is on and popping. You can get carpet bombed. And that's what happened here. He wasn't in his right state of mind anymore. This man had training. He knows this is the way, this is not the way he's supposed to operate. But that's the thing when you have a gun. That's why they give you all of that training. In order, so when you get these certain circumstances, these certain situations, that you move and you operate in a certain type of manner to diffuse the situation before you fire that gun. That's what's supposed to happen. And in a perfect situation, that's what does happen. But hello, at times, we've seen police officers get scared, fear, that's an emotion, bypass their training, limbic system, and they let off 25 shots when they could have let off two or three shots in the air. We've seen this happen from time to time. You know, we've definitely seen this happen from time to time. So that's what the training actually does. And the more training that you have, the more of that it's supposed to do. But it can still go awry. And what happened here was very tragic. It went awry. Now, some people will say that there's individuals all across America that deserve to be carpet bombed for some of the foolishness that they do, you know? But as far as I'm concerned, I don't feel that's the case. There's been times in my own day-to-day I've seen individuals carrying on. I feel like, you know what, I could just smack the, you know what, let me just walk over here. Let me just move over here. Let me just change my seat. And that diffuses the situation real easy. You know, this is what happens. It's part of our society now at this given time. And it's going to get worse because there's a lot of guns out there. There's a lot of illegal guns and there's a lot of legitimate guns. That limbic system starts to fire. You're going to run into a problem. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Yeah, it again, folks, it's, I don't want to make light of this thing, but I do come across individuals almost on a daily basis that are so enthralled with their technology that they're rude. And, you know, when you're in the public sphere, you have to be able to, listen, I'm at such a point now, I'm looking at people, looking for people who might participate in the knockout game, Captain. I've been walking around the last couple of days where I had to watch people. You should be watching people anyway. But I really watch people. I don't know if you want to call it a certain kind of paranoia, but I have made up in my mind I am not the one. I am not the one. And I do carry myself in a way that when I walk, I have to be prepared for anything, and I have to be prepared to break somebody down if it gets foolish. Or I have to prepare myself to, in a way, mentally, to be able to extricate myself out of something that might be dangerous. So you have to have a whole arsenal, so to speak, a whole arsenal as to how to deal with what might come your way in this modern culture. You can't just walk around. Some people walk around with, you know, without care in the world. They have Dre headphones on, Captain. You know, they're in the city where taxi cab drivers they are dismembering people, limbs are being taken off. A young lady from the UK a couple of months ago, I think during the summertime, remember, she lost a foot because some cabbie, I think, had an argument with somebody else and cut off somebody, runs up on the curb, and then this quite fetching, loses a foot. I mean, I just don't know. You have to watch. You have to watch. And I'm not going to engage some person over texting. You know, cut your phone off. Mind your business. Be quiet. Look at the film and then go home. This inability, you know, really, when you look at it, Captain, it's on both sides. It, obviously, it's on both sides, but it's both sides of the insanity. The man that was texting could not stop texting to enjoy the film, so he couldn't control himself. And the older gentleman, he couldn't control himself. So what you're dealing with on both sides of this equation are two individuals who could not control themselves. A lack of comportment on both, by both parties. Nobody is in control. And the best you can hope for is not to be caught up in that tornado. You don't want to be there. All right. We got about 7 minutes remaining. Again, folks, if you'd like to call in, the water is warm, as always. This is the Midweek in Review show. Stay tuned for Saturday's Grindhouse Edition, which, of course, is our infamous double feature show. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Moving things right along, enough of the texting and the N-word rants. Actually, I want to talk about the Golden Globes, believe it or not, briefly. Golden Globes were recently held, and in some circles, it is perceived that the Golden Globes are a precursor to the Oscars, that if you do well or a particular picture does well at the Golden Globes, that picture might do well, equally do well, at the Oscars. Now, one thing that troubled me to a certain degree, I saw 12 Years a Slave. I thought it was an excellent film. We can discuss, you know, the preponderance of slavery films, but at the end of the day, and I think we did come to the conclusion, is that they are a necessity. You do need to have the history being told. I mean, 12 Years a Slave was a real story. It's a real story of Solomon Northup, who was a free person living in the North, a free man of color living in the North, and was captured as a free person and forced to be a slave for 12 years. So that's the story that we do know, that it's a tragic story, as the entirety of slavery was a tragedy. It was the nation's darkest hour. So we need these slavery films, but we need the balance as well. We can't just rely on them. But I noticed that with the Golden Globes, I believe it received Best Drama or Best Picture. But Chiwetel Ejiofor, the main protagonist, the slave himself, the main character, that actor did not receive an award. I believe he was nominated, but I think not too many awards were given out to 12 Years specifically. And I think that the way it was written up for the last couple of months, 12 Years was on track to really taking over everything. Now we're seeing that, at least according to the Golden Globes, that appears not to be the case. So what I was thinking of was, and this is a theme that's been brought up quite a bit on our show, and I think of Halle Berry's acceptance speech from a few years ago for Monster's Ball, how emotional she was, and, you know, it reminded me of a black version of a Sally Field acceptance Oscar speech, where she said, you really like me, you really like me. It's been parodied a million times. It was so ingratiating. And even the term acceptance speech is a double entendre. Really calling for acceptance, you really like me now. You really accept me now. And I think that as people of color, of black folks specifically, when will we get to the point where we have our own shows? Because we do have the NAACP Awards, although, you know, who they give those awards to might be questionable at times. But we do have the Essence Awards. We have certain award shows where you might have a better shot at getting your due. And I know in the deeper recesses of our minds, I would think, well, even the audience's mind, the black audience mind, as well as the performer's mind, the Oscar just means more to you. Getting that acceptance from the corporate audience, from the mainstream audience, whatever euphemism you want to use, from the white audience, getting those accolades from that audience is very important to you. So when, being tribal now, when your own folk give you their award, you don't really feel deep down as appreciative or as accepted. Let me put it this way. You don't require their acceptance. But for the Oscars, you really need it. You really need it. You really like me. You really like me. And I'm saying, if they can't give it up, 12 Years a Slave, and even in hearing the trailers, I never saw The Butler. I just can't do it. When I heard the trailer captain for The Butler, it might as well be 1989 Driving Miss Daisy. It sounds like the same film. It sounds like the same film. So you're never going to get your due from a mainstream perspective. I don't think you do, unless you're a minstrel. Minstrels get the accolades. What say you, Captain? We got about a little bit less than 2 minutes.
Well, the Oscars and Golden Globe, as far as I'm concerned, is like a 70-30 installment, meaning which, you know, I would say 70% of the time it's not necessary. It's a political thing, and then 30% of the time they get it right. You see people come out of nowhere sometimes and do a great film, and they do that 6 years in a row, don't get an Oscar, don't get their Golden Globes, and then they do a weak product on their seventh year, and then they give them an award. What is that about?
Yeah.
You see? It's political. It's totally political. That's what happens there. And that weakens the whole structure overall. Totally weakens it. It becomes a proximity promotion. I like you, and I should have taken care of you before, but I took care of someone else before that really didn't deserve it or should have gotten it 6 years before, so I'm giving it to you for this. Get out of here, man. Come on, man. And that is intrinsic with everything we do in society. Look when you even go to work. There's plenty of people listening right now that they know that they're smarter and more qualified than their boss. How did boss get in that position? And they should be in that position. Come on, man. Come on. Talk to me, people. Talk to me. Intrinsic part of our society, proximity promotions. You put on people that ultimately that you like and you feel comfortable. And you do it sometimes before they're even ready. Don't get me started. Back over to you, Serafo Nerd.
Well, that's it. I got a gym appointment to go to, Captain. It's been real, folks. We'll pick it up again on Saturday at 6 p.m. for the Grindhouse. Let's go on out with Black President by Sela and the Afro-Funk Experience. It's been real. See you on Saturday.
Mr. President, I got something to learn. People are hungry for change. Mr. President, Mr. President, look around, what do I see? We're fighting to stay alive. Go,
he's the president. You see, love is all we need now. Got war in Iraq, Sudan, Afghanistan. Why can't we